Well done, Colonel Bishop. We better move aside.
Yes, yes,
Eileen is waiting in the wings here, and Joy is on my shoulder. So under savage pressure, JJ, you wouldn't believe it.
He's refreshed now, full of go.
That's it, that's it. He's ready for road,
ready for action.
Ready for action
now.
Tell you what, stand back. Great, JJ.
God bless you.
Bye-bye for now. Bye-bye for now. So thanks so much to JJ. And thanks to Bill as well, staying on and journeying with us here as well. Now it's just coming close to 10 past 6. Do please keep in tune with us and enjoy the rest of our programming this evening. Hand you over now to Joy and to Eileen for her lovely show, Life to the Full. So do please indeed keep in tune with us. Do get in touch, 089-467-2000 for all your texts, all your prayers and requests and feedback too on this or any other show. So thank you for your company here on Radio Maria Ireland, your Catholic radio station.
Hello and welcome this evening to Life to the Full Live with myself and Joy. You're very welcome if you're tuning in. And on this evening's program, we are going to have very special guests joining us live from Newbridge this evening, who I will introduce to you very shortly. We had a short break the past 2 weeks, but we're now back in action again in studio and delighted to have Joy here as well.
Good evening, Eileen, and thank you, listeners.
Very good. So we'll just begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
So this evening's reflection is called The Burning Flame of Love. There are many images we use to describe the love of God. One such image is a burning flame of love. This is seen in the spiritual classic Living Flame of Love, written by St. John of the Cross. Why do we speak of God and his love as a fire burning within us? This is a powerful image worth spending much time meditating on. A flame does many things. It brings light, it purifies, it consumes, it emits heat. It draws us close, it is ever changing and ever new. God's love must become not only a spark or a flame within you, it must become a fire of love, consuming your soul and producing in its place the radiance and divine presence of God. So that brings it to a conclusion this evening's reflection. And we're delighted to be joining you here on the 27th November live. And I will now introduce our special guest. So we have Tony Brennan, the National Coordinator of the Pope John Paul II Awards, coming live all the way from Newbridge in the Diocese of Kildare and Loughlin. And he is joined by a great team there as well this evening. So you're very welcome, Tony.
Thanks very much, Eileen and Joy. It's great to be back with you again. And it's great to be here in Newbridge, in the parish centre in Newbridge, which is a newly decorated, newly done up building. It is a fantastic venue altogether. And we're joined tonight by Katrina Kelly, who Katrina is the award coordinator for the Diocese of Kildare and Loughlin. And we're also joined by Charlotte Vard, who is the award leader and pastoral worker here in the parish of Newbridge. And we're also delighted to welcome Sean Murphy and Mirren Beattie, both JP2 participants. Sean has just completed achieved his gold award and is now starting his paper cross. And Mirren has completed her paper cross award. Did you receive your paper cross award on Friday or Monday? Was
Monday.
It? Monday.
Yeah.
And Sean, you got yours on Friday,
was
it?
Friday, yeah.
And was that an exciting night, was it?
Yeah, it was really exciting because we had worked the whole year towards it. And yeah, it was really exciting to see the fruits of our labour, really.
Uh-huh. Good. Yeah. And tell us a little bit about the stuff that you did, Sean, for the lead up to this week.
Okay, so I'm a minister of the Word, so I read a Mass every few Sundays, and I'm also a minister of the Word, and so those are some of the things I do every few weeks, and I'm also a member of the Amadeus Youth Group here in Newbridge.
Okay.
So we help out at Mass, doing reflections and giving out leaflets and things. And we also...
Sorry, would that be the same Mass every Sunday, or do you do any Masses during the week, or is it Saturday? Tell us that.
It's normally more special Masses, like
okay.
Easter and Christmas. And just recently we helped out there at the...
Ceremony of Light,
out there as well for the Confirmation Kids. We had two reflections
okay.
during the week.
And tell us a bit, for the benefit of the listeners, tell us a bit, what's the Ceremony of Light?
So it's a really nice ceremony for the Confirmation Kids.
Okay.
So the Confirmation Kids and their parents come along with their baptism candles, and They get their candles lit from the Paschal candle, and the parents hand on the light
to the child. Oh, very good.
Symbolizing that they're handing on the faith to their child.
Yeah.
So it's in their hands.
Uh-huh. And many were at that ceremony this year. Was it full house?
Full house. For both nights. Yeah.
For both nights.
Yeah, two churches. Yeah.
Uh-huh. That must have been great altogether. And was there hymns as well, Charlotte?
Yeah, both evenings. So up in Kilwera, the folk choir sang. Mm-hmm. And then on the Thursday night in the parish church, the Amadeus Youth Choir sang. So they sang for the first time at the Ceremony of Light. So that was very special. A lot of them were themselves making their confirmation in March.
Yes.
So they went down then to receive the light of faith from their parents.
It's a brilliant idea. How long has that been going on here?
Well, as long as I can remember.
Oh, right.
Light, yeah. So uh-huh. Even when I made my confirmation not so long ago, it was part of the confirmation preparation.
Okay, that's lovely. Mm-hmm. Sounds class altogether. And Mirren, tell us a bit too about the work that you've been done to achieve your Paper Cross Award.
Well, we're really fortunate where we come from that there's always something for you to do in our parish. So we have I'm a Young Reader.
And you have to tell all the listeners who your parish is.
Greg Cullen Glesson, but I'm from the Greg Cullen side.
Yeah, so for all the people listening, she's going to repeat it again. Who's your parish?
Greg Cullen.
That's it.
So we have like Young Readers, which you can do fourth year, third year, first year even, and then Eucharistic Ministers in fourth year, which I do as well. And we have those. We have over 100 young people on our rotas in Greg Cullen Glesson, and so we're on every like couple of weeks. And then we have Sunday School, which is where we bring the younger kids who, before they make their communion, into our parish centre. Okay. And basically help them learn about the gospel, and they have fun activities to do to make, I suppose, Mass more enjoyable for them.
And
then we have two choirs for young people. We have the children's choir, which is up to first year, and then we have the youth choir as well, which is like first to even the college students as well.
Okay.
So we're a really, really vibrant parish.
And you're involved in the choir, aren't you?
I was.
You were?
Not anymore.
Okay.
Not anymore, but I was, yeah, for 2 years. I was in the youth choir, and then I was in the children's choir from third, I think, up to fifth, or not third, fifth or sixth anyways.
Yeah.
And then I was an altar server as well before that, from 8 to, I think, about 15.
Okay. And then finished your altar serving up to 15, did you have any other things, or what was your appeal to continue up, to get involved or be part of your parish?
I suppose when I was smaller, there was no Sunday school when I was small. So for me, when I started doing altar serving, it was because that was the thing to do. Like, you know, I always wanted to be an altar server. I always knew that. Like, I always went to Mass. And then I suppose you see the older kids in your parish reading at Mass and do Eucharistic ministry. So I always knew I wanted to do that and become a young reader. So as soon as I hit first year, I became a young reader.
Okay.
I was on the course as soon as I could, like, and then as soon as fourth year came, I was a Eucharistic minister as well.
And did you get involved in that? Was that through the school or the parish? Where did the
parish
connect? Through the parish. So you
definitely
must have a very strong parish
to get
those connections.
Yeah, most definitely our parish.
And is it, have you good, strong leaders? How does the connection, tell me how the connections work.
So we have Father Dunphy, who is really, he's really passionate about having the youth involved in our parish.
Okay.
So he's great about it. And then we have Father Lawton as well, who's also brilliant. And then we have our youth choir and our children's choir, which help. And then Katrina and Anya as well, who will definitely help pull people into the parish, get them involved.
Brilliant. And you must have a busy week with all these things going on.
Sometimes, yeah.
But you're enjoying it.
Yeah, definitely. I love it.
Uh-huh. And is a lot of your friends involved as well?
There's quite a few, yeah. Like, and not even so much as in fourth year, people who I would have been friends with, they didn't, like, there was one or two who did it, but not really from our parish. But as soon as I got involved, I would have known some of the girls from our parish, but not well. But
yes.
Now, even some of the lads, like, I know them really, really well, and like, they're them some of my closest friends, and that's just from doing the award especially.
Yes.
And getting to know them, because we spent so much time together in fourth year from doing bag packs and uh-huh. everything.
Class. Sean, we were chatting earlier on before we went on air about how you got involved in the award. Tell us how you did and why you did.
Yes, so I've been a member of the Amadeus Youth Group here for about 3 years now. And before that, I wasn't really into going to church that much. I wasn't very religious. But as soon as I joined, something changed. I wanted to take part in my parish. And as soon as the JP2 award came, I knew it was the thing for me to do. So I became a Eucharistic minister through the parish. And I also became a minister of the word. And I loved doing that. I love helping out in my parish. And yeah, I suppose it's the Amadeus Youth Group really that's kind of started getting me involved in the parish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
You sound pretty confident, Sean. Have you always been confident?
No, I haven't.
Tell us, where's the confidence coming from? So,
from meeting new people and helping out, meeting new people from my parish, from other parishes. It's really helped boost my confidence and to know that I'm helping other people in any way I can.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's really nice.
Okay. You mentioned there the Amadeus Group. Charlotte, do you want to tell us about the Amadeus Group? Tell us its history and where it comes from, what you do.
Yeah, so the Amadeus Youth Group started 4 years ago with myself and another member of our old parish youth group, Newbridge Parish Youth Group, and it stopped after, I think it ran for about 7 or 8 years, and it stopped, and for about 2 years there was nothing, and we were kind of in our 20s at that point, but we wanted to give back. Everything we received from the Newbridge Parish Youth Group, it kind of gave us what it has given Sean and so many others. So we decided to, we went to our parish priest, Father Paul Dempsey, and we knocked on his door, and we were terrified, we could say no. And he makes a joke of it now. He says, like, why would I say no? But he said yes, and it slowly grew and grew, and some days we had two people. But we kept going, and now we're lucky enough 4 years later to have a really vibrant youth group that has become really well known. And from the youth group, we've branched out to a youth choir. And it's been amazing to watch other young people kind of go through what we went through.
And that youth choir that you've gone, it's not a youth choir, I should correct myself there. That's a young person's choir, isn't that? What age group is
that
choir?
So it started out being kind of the same age group as the youth group.
Yep.
So 12 to kind of 17. But then kind of singing isn't for everyone. So this year, we kind of, in August when we were planning, we decided to bring it to the confirmation kids as a way of them getting involved in their confirmation year, because there's not much for them. And even if they go to Mass once a month, it's better than not going at all. So we brought in the confirmation, and we thought, look, if we get five, it'd be great. But we have about 35 to 40 members now in the choir, and it's going really, really well. And Father Michal is kind of head of that with our choir director, Claudia Cummins, who started Amadeus. So it's really, really good.
And where does the choir sing? What masses does the choir sing? Because you have all the listeners now, and they're going to want to go to those masses.
There's a webcam. they sing once a month at the Grow and Love Mass for the communion kit. So it's a great witness for these little bit older confirmation age to be singing to communion kits, really. And it's always a packed church. And so they sing, it depends on the date of the Grow and Love Mass, but we're singing this Saturday at 6 p.m.
Saturday. Very good, very good. What do you think of all the things that are going on in this location, Eileen?
Yeah, that sounds fantastic, guys. Well done there to Sean and Marin, and also Katrina there and Charlotte. It's amazing just the level of activity and involvement as well that is happening, especially for yourselves, Sean and Marin, and just to hear as well, like, you know, how the more you give, the more you receive, it seems, as well, because you were both saying they're true volunteering, helping with the children, for example, preparing for confirmation and Eucharistic ministers of the word, all very fruitful ministries to be a part of in the church. And then through that as well, you said you're forming friendships and growing in confidence as well as a person. So for Sean and Marin, have you found that maybe you've discovered new skills even, or maybe something even new about yourself that you mightn't have realized before?
Definitely brought me out of my shell a little bit. Like, I would have always been grand. Like, I did dancing and singing in stage school when I was younger. So I was always grand if I was up on a stage, even though in front of, you know, up to 300 strangers. But like, in myself, I wouldn't have been as confident, but getting up in front of people who I have to see in school or see on a day-to-day basis in our parish, because we're really close in a parish, most people know everyone in the parish, so I think that definitely helped me grow in confidence. And then doing the award and getting back from what I've given to the award has, you know, it's definitely helped me become a better person as well. And yeah, just it's really given me a lot between confidence and becoming a better person.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank God to hear that. And well done to you as well. And, you know, courage is always, it's an easy word to speak about, like courage to get up in front of talking in front of people or whatever it might be, trying something new. But, you know, to have courage means doing something, even if we feel a little nervous about it. That's when true courage kicks in. So it's a great witness, and for all your friends too. And just while we're speaking, I would just like to encourage listeners, if you're listening in and you would like to text in and share your thoughts and comments, and especially for this evening's chat with the Pope John Paul II Awards team, you can text or WhatsApp 089-467-2000, or you can email info@radiomaria.ie, and I'm sure the gang here would love to hear from you as well and your feedback and thoughts, or maybe even if you have the Pope John Paul II Awards in your parish and would like to share your thoughts as well. So back over to you, Katrina and Charlotte as well. Lovely to hear from your end how it works, and how do you round up the students as such?
So for me, I visit all the schools in our diocese. So on invitation, they ask me every August, September to visit their school and find a time in my calendar. I work 3 days with Kildare and Loughlin Diocese with this award programme. So I fit in as many schools as I can between September and December. But I'm still visiting schools really in January, February, because you have so much time to do the award. It's so doable and so flexible that it's okay. You can still visit schools up until March, really. But the earlier, the better, of course. I go on invitation to on average between 26 and 30 of our schools. We have 39 in the diocese, and every year without fail we have 26 schools represented at our award ceremonies. But the way we recruit, if you'd like to call it that, is we go into school and I tell them all about the award, and then at the end of the presentation I ask whoever's interested now to stay on, and I'll tell you exactly how you can go back to your parish and fill in your form and give your registration fee that your parish will help pay for, and then they'll tell you about the next steps then of how to actually implement this award programme into your parish, how to actually carry it out. So I just introduce in the school, but they carry it out. Step one is really to go back to the parish with the form and register to them, who'll send it back to me in my office, and they're technically registered then for as a JP2 award for the next year, a student for the next year. So the schools help us and are really, really beneficial. Like, we're really lucky to have that invitation from our schools every year, but the parish is where the work actually happens. So I don't think if I didn't get into the schools, I think it'd be much harder to get young people involved, because if they see all of their peers listening about how amazing this award is and seeing visually photos and videos and testimonies of how this award has changed young people's lives over the last 10 years in our diocese, if they see and hear that with their peers beside them, it's just totally normal and okay to sign up to something like that. It's like signing up to Gashka or enrichment programs or anything that they do volunteering wise in school. So really it's just a matter of taking that extra step of courage, as you said, and going back to the parish with their form and saying, yes, I want to be part of this, and then it's over to the parish team and the voluntary award leaders in their parishes to look after them. We still have contact people in the school, contact teachers who help us set it up, and when activities are needed carried out in school, the JP2s are the people they go to first, always in school, not just prefects and corgis and meth leaders, but JP2s are up there because they know that they're young people who want to give up their time, looking for nothing in return, really only a signature on a piece of paper on their record card at the end of the week. So yeah, the schools are our first port of call, but the parishes do all the hard work, really, the award leaders and parishes. That's where it all happens.
And just on that, Katrina, for anyone involved in parishes and those that are listening, through my role as coordinator of the award, I'm traveling around the country all the time, and one of the hardest tasks parishes have is to connect with a school, is to connect with the young people in the school, and also in the parish themselves, is to find young leaders, or any leaders, never mind young leaders, to make that connection. How the award is running, I think it's coming into its 10th year now in Kildare and Loughlin. Has that parish school collaboration always existed, or have you been working on that?
No, we've been working on it for a long time. Okay. I mean, this is, I think, my sixth year with the award, but it's going over 10 years. It's 12 years really in our diocese, but 10 award ceremonies under our belt then.
That's it, yeah.
And six of them are with me at the helm. So, yeah, it's been growing. I feel like in the last 3 years, we can really say, yes, we have it down now. We understand what we're doing with regard to parish and school. We have that tripod, if you like, of parish, school and home. And everyone seems to understand that they can't do this award without the help of their parish and the support. And I think putting that onus and responsibility on the parish has helped them step up. And they've found the people that were invisible before. And because it's 10 years now in our diocese, a lot of our award leaders, we have 45 lay people as our award leaders across our diocese.
Wow.
And 17 of them are past JP2s now. So they've come back full circle, and now they want to lead the young people in their parishes. And they just offered me, you know, we were in Lourdes this August, and I had a girl just up the road, actually, in Cara Parish, say, I'm from Cara. I did my ministry actually in Newbridge, because it's a smaller parish, but I want to give back, and I want to be the award leader in Cara. So if anyone like me from the small parish wants to help, they can come to me. Can I do that? And I said, absolutely, of course you can. So she's now on board, and she's just finished her JP2 award and now starting college, but found some time. So they're there. The people are there. They want to be found. You just have to look for them.
Yeah.
So I think giving the higher profile to the parishes helped, because they realised you're not going to leave it to the schools. They get, you know, a lot of recognition, and they deserve it. They absolutely do. But this award can't be achieved without parish involvement, whereas it can be achieved without school involvement. So they understand the importance of parish, and they like that that recognition. So it recognises their parish, not in a competitive way, but it does really lift the profile of one parish compared to the next. And there are 56 in our diocese, so it helps. Like, even at our recent award ceremonies, you could see the pride on our priests' faces when they come up and they stand beside their recipients as 2 or 20 from their parish received their medal, and it was really a touching moment. But that has come full circle now, because those priests are now coming in with me to schools at the start of the year and telling them about the award from the parish point of view. And that's really what's doing it. They understand straight away it's not this person from the diocese visiting, it's the diocesan priest, is their priest down the road that's going to be there when Katrina was back to her office, you know, and signs them up all right and is there to help. But the priest is there and is going to follow through with them as the year goes on. And that's where the parish part has become so important, because our priests have realised this is something good. We want to be part of our diocese, so yes, we've got to do our part as well.
Your bishop, though, seems to be very, very supportive of the award and everything behind it. That comes across social media.
Yeah.
And he seems to be feeding that through, that message through to parishes. Tell us a little bit about
Bishop Dennis Nulty, I mean, what can we say about him? We could be talking all day about him. We're so blessed. We really are. It's not just with the JP2 award, but with the MEHEL programme and any youth ministry initiative, he is behind us. He is completely 100% behind us. He will always have great ideas and great suggestions to improve things, but he is always behind us first and foremost, and then we'll work it out together. How is it going to work best? He came to World Youth Day with us in Krakow. I'm sure he'll come again when we go to Lisbon. But having him behind it, and he's very much the face of our youth ministry. It's not just of our diocese, but our youth ministry. Our young people want to be part of something where they get to meet the bishop and they get to have this personal relationship with him, because he remembers them. He really recognizes what they do. Like, my nephew got his John Paul Award medal, my first nephew, and I have 10 of them, 10 nieces and nephews, and he got his medal last Monday, and he remembered when he got his photo taken, "I confirmed you." And wow. He's in fifth year, yeah. You know, and he, my nephew will never forget that. And when we speak about confidence with Sean, he's come on leaps and bounds in confidence because of the award programme. Mm-hmm. But because of people like Bishop Dennis remembering him and notifying and noticing little things in him and little important things that I know he, that would make him feel special, I'm going to make sure I share that with him when I see him again. Mm-hmm. And Bishop Dennis, he just personifies this confidence, but a quiet confidence and a very humble one. And I think our young people need a leader like that, and he leads us so well. He really does. He's behind everything with myself and Robert Norton, who looks after the MEHEL programme, and all of our FDS team, Faith Development Services team, and Carlo to look after all of the services of our diocese. But he's behind it all, and we can trust him, and our young people trust him, therefore our leaders trust him. And he sets a great example to our priests, who are now backing anything that we come up with, because he knows if Bishop Dennis is happy with it, we'll be happy with it too. Mm-hmm. And that's why it seems to work.
Sean, you're nodding, you're agreeing with that, yes?
Definitely, yeah. That's
good to hear, Tiz, yeah. But your parishes seem to be really, really lively as well, are they?
Yes. So plenty of people in our parish are helping out, not just JP2s as well,
yeah,
but other young people as well in general, which is great to see. We recently had a parish race day in the Kerr race course that we were helping out with as well. So it's really nice that young people are coming out of their shell, stepping up, you know, saying I'd like to help out, be a part of something bigger than myself.
Yeah.
And be part of the community that I'm in.
Yeah, good, good. And during the summer, you were involved in the Diocesan Pilgrimage to Lourdes, was it?
Yes.
Both of you, Sean and Myrna, were involved in that.
Yeah.
Sean, tell us a bit about that.
We went to Lourdes from the 1st of August to the 6th, and it was lovely. It was really nice. We got to help out sick people and elderly people in wheelchairs. It was really touching to go around. We heard lots of stories, and we also met new people. I made a few new friends from Lourdes, from the JP2 Award.
Mm-hmm.
And It was really nice to go there and to not just partake in the... You're going there to help out, but you're also there on your own pilgrimage.
Yes.
Which is something I've never done before. And it was really nice to take part in all of that. And
you'd never been on pilgrimage?
I'd never been. It was my first trip abroad, actually, as well.
So, oh, very good. Excellent.
It was brilliant. I loved it.
Yeah. Amar, tell us a bit what you enjoyed about that pilgrimage as well.
I loved every single minute of it. Like, if I could go back and do it again right in this minute, I would. But, I mean, you get from it what you put in. Like, you know, some people were doing wheelchairs. There was a couple of people from our parish were doing wheelchairs. I mean, one of the ladies now is famous in our parish because, you know, they got on so well with it. Then other people were in the choir, like myself. So, you know, and then you have the Stations of the Cross. You have, you know, you have the Grotto, which we went down to at night, two nights. And that's just a lovely experience. Like, it's so peaceful because during the day there's so much, like, you know, it's a tourist attraction in a way. I mean, everyone's there for prayer, but, like, there's just so many people there, you know, you can't get into it. You can't have your moment of peace in it. Like, whereas we went down at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, down the back way, you know, the main gates are closed. And you just sit there for however long you want. One night we were kind of there for maybe 15 minutes. The following night, I think some of us were there for an hour.
Wow.
First, we started off in front of the Statue of Mary praying. Then we went over to the river and just sat there for a while. I mean, my dad was in hospital at the time, so I found... Like, my dad had just gotten to get stents the day we left.
Yes.
So I found great strength being there the night, you know, and being able to pray and just know that, okay, I'm doing something for my dad, even though I'm not in the country.
Yes.
I'm doing something for him. Like, so, like, it was great. It, like, really, really helped. And then you talk about the bishop, he was over there with us, and he was just fantastic. Like,
yes.
I mean, our parish, we went to a crepery one night. And we went in, and the guy's like, oh, you're from Ireland. So we were like, yeah. He's like, well, you sing a song for me here. So you're like, yeah, okay, fine. He put on Backstreet Boys.
As you do.
Exactly.
Nice and Irish.
Exactly. And Bishop Nulty heard us. We were screaming about having a great time. And he came in and kind of pulled up a chair beside us and kind of just sat there and listened to us. And he was just bopping along, like, you know, you know, he said it to me, like, he was like, oh, you were in Lourdes, you know, and I had my words there, and we're like, but that's definitely something I remember about Bishop Nulty. Like, he came back then for a photo, it was like, you know, it was a really, like, a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Like,
brilliant.
I don't think you'll get the same experience. I know you will get the same experience if you go back, but I don't think you can compare it to your first time you're there. Like,
and how's your daddy?
He's okay.
Good. Your prayers work.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Very good, very good. And Sean, tell us a bit about what you experienced about in Lourdes.
Yeah, as Marin said, we went down to the grotto very early in the morning. It's so peaceful. It's absolutely lovely. There's so many people there during the day, and it's nice to just slow down, take a break, have a nice quiet space to pray. And for me, that was the most magical thing for me in Lourdes. That's what I really enjoyed. That's what the one thing that I would take back from it is the peacefulness of the grotto. And yeah, also just being able to help out really with your friends.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's what I really enjoyed.
And you seemed to, as if you had a lot of responsibility. You seemed to have got a lot out of that, did you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. I know how to push a wheelchair. And it was my first time actually. I had been training during the year to be Eucharist minister, but the first time I've actually become a Eucharist minister,
yes.
Served as a Eucharist minister,
yes.
Was in Lourdes.
Oh, very good.
So
that's nice.
One thing that I'll always have for me. And
yeah.
Yeah, that was something special to have the first time to do that.
I would say so.
Yeah.
I would say so. Yeah, they're good memories.
Leaving the rosary and all as well.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Rosary, so.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. And Myrn, tell us, you were involved in summer camps as well, isn't that right? Tell us a bit about the summer camps. Where
so
are they held?
We have them in the school. So Carlo Youth Services run camps every single year. And I was doing them when I was small. So I always knew I wanted to be a leader at them. So it's kind of, you can start being a leader from fourth year. The summer, you're going into fifth year is when I started doing it. So it's voluntary. You give up, you know, you have a week's training the week before Carlo Camp, which is a big one. There's, I think, four venues for that all in 1 week. So there's, you know, you don't have to travel to the other side of the town to get to a camp. But no, they're great. Like, we go on a day trip. So you have like 2-3 leaders per age group. So the Carlo Camp, there's two different ones. There's two venues. There are one maybe 10 to 12 year olds. And then the rest are 5 to 9 year olds, 5 to 10 year olds. So I love being with the small kids. I'm always 5 to 6 year olds. And then actually from doing this 2 summers ago, I was asked to come back and train to be a leader for it. So eight in fact were asked to come back and actually run Carlo Camp in Grey Cullen this year. Wow. Which was brilliant. Like, you know, we were in charge of, responsible for the leaders, responsible for the kids, did check in every morning. We're like responsible for making sure, obviously the youth workers were still there, but a lot of the onus was on us, you know, making sure we had all the kids. Then they'd come double checked, like, but it was our responsibility to make sure everyone was on the bus in time. So that was great. And I mean, that helped with my social side for my jump ball as well, which I didn't even need because I had so much backpacking and everything. And then I had Glor Carrig up in Carlo, which is an Irish camp. They run a camp. They run one for Anina and one for primary school kids. So I help with the primary school one. Mm-hmm. So that's a week again, and it's true Irish. And it's the same, they go swimming, they go on a day trip. They went to Castle Homer this year, and it's just, I love doing it, like, because I just love kids. So yes. I'd happily give up 3 weeks of my summer holidays to do that. Like, as soon as I came back from Lourdes, I was back into another camp, like, so.
Class.
Yeah.
Class. That's brilliant. And for the benefit of the listeners here, Sean and Martin, explain the award. There's two strands to the award. So tell us about the two strands.
So you have your parish involvement side and your social awareness side. So for your parish awareness, involvement, yeah, you take part in aspects of your parish. Like, you help out at Mass. Some of my friends do the projector at Mass. There's reading at Mass, doing the Eucharist, and helping out any other way, like even just something as simple as handing out leaflets at the back door of the church, or going around to the houses with your parish newsletter. Yeah, and then there's the social side where it's you can help out with other aspects of your community that's outside of the parish, maybe.
Yeah. And what did you do for yours? Tell us.
Mainly working with Amadeus, so
getting young people
involved in the youth group, and you know, encouraging them to have the same experience I did, come out of their shell and meet new people,
yeah,
and to have fun.
Good.
So,
and it sounds as if you had mighty fun,
obviously.
And if there's people listening tonight, so there's young people maybe listening tonight, but I know there's people listening tonight from all over the country who maybe are know people who'd like to help out in a parish, or maybe they want to help themselves. But what would you say to those people that are listening tonight?
Well, I would say definitely go and do the John Paul II Award. I think it's brilliant. It's really shaped. It's changed me in a way. It's made me more selfless, and it's just brilliant. I've loved it all the way. So good. I would definitely recommend it. Uh-huh. You don't have to be a teenager. You can be any age, really.
That's right. And you're starting your Paper Cross Award now, isn't that right? And the Paper Cross Award is a lot more responsibility with that, and it's harder to do. Have you any plans? What do you plan to do, or is it too early to say?
So I'm planning on doing more Eucharistic ministry and ministry of the Word, helping out with the MDS youth group.
More of a leader role.
A leader role, excellent. So that's when you're racking up the responsibilities,
just continue to do what I've been doing.
And Myrne, you've done your gold, and you've completed your paper cross.
Yeah.
So you did your paper cross was completed earlier on this year.
Yeah.
The year before when you did your gold, but you're still doing things, isn't that right?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how has the award helped you?
Well, I suppose it's made me become more aware of what does go on in our parish, because when you're sitting there at Mass, you don't always notice what goes on. Like, we have the projectors now, the slides, so there's people doing that every week. We, you know, young readers, Eucharistic ministers, Sunday school leaders, like, there's an abundance of things to be doing. But no, it's definitely, you know, I really enjoy doing it now, and I feel like I'm giving back to a community which has given so much to me, because I've lived there my whole life, you know. So it's really fulfilling doing it, and you know, you feel like you're giving back to, you know, Katrina, Father Dunphy, who have helped us get our awards, you know, the 26 awards for our Papal Cross or the 20 awards for our gold, you know. So it's definitely, I still want to keep going with and show the kid, like, you know, show the, be a leader for the kids in our parish who I didn't really know what the JP2 award was until it came into us in fourth year.
Okay.
Like, I knew, you know, you'd see the older teenagers in our parish doing it, but didn't know really know why. Like, but no, definitely, I want to be an example for the other teenagers in our parish to keep stay involved after they finish their award, which is what I intend to do.
On another note, the Diocese of Cork and Ross, they launched the award the week before last. And they're at the early stages now, Katrina, of starting the award. They're in the process of concentrating on parish and getting school and parish collaboration. What advice would you give to anybody listening in the Diocese of Cork and Ross tonight that wants to get involved in a leadership role in the diocese?
In a leadership role in the diocese?
Yeah, in a leadership role.
I would definitely say take it slow, because it's very easy to do something wrong and do it very well and wrong. You know, you could have great numbers of awards every year, but that's not a true reflection of what your diocese is if they're not fruitful, if they're not like these two guys here, willing to come back when it's all over. And I think that's, whenever anyone in our diocese has been disappointed with the JP2 award from a leadership point of view, it's because, where are they now, they'll say. How come we don't have them now? We gave them so much and they had a great experience. But it's like when they graduated school, they graduated from the award, kind of like our confirmation programs, you know. And I feel like we've taken this new approach in the last 2-3 years under Bishop Dennis. His really great vision that he has, that, you know, it's not just about the JP2 award. It's about really just rewarding young people that are already involved, but getting young people involved who will never think of getting involved through the JP2 award.
Yeah.
So JP2 award, like someone like Mairn would have been rewarded with a JP2 award. So you find them, look for them and reward them for what they're already doing. But then find people like Sean, who said they weren't really religious before and it was nothing on their radar, but you go and tell them about the award and think this could be great for you, and let find them where they're at and bring them on from there by enticing them with this award. But rewarding those like Mairn that were already there and need to be rewarded for that as well. And to just know that, take it slowly, don't rush it, because it's not about numbers. It really is about quality, not quantity.
Right.
And now we're lucky at this stage. We are, our numbers are getting really high in Kildare and Loughlin, but it took us a long time to get there. And I would be so happy to give it to 50 young people this year. It wouldn't cost me a thought. I'd be so happy if I could send over 50 record cards. And I mean, we lost 76 young people this year for their record cards. I had to say, I had to call parish and said, and were they really involved? Mm-hmm. And did you actually get this and that and whatever they said from them? And they said, well, yes, I suppose they did really get it, but I haven't seen them since. And I will have to say, well, they still deserve their medal. This is what the programme outlines, and they did their 8 weeks of bronze. You might not have seen them since, but they earned their bronze medal. Maybe this is a good opportunity to touch base with them at the award ceremony and get them back involved. So while it's really important for them to stay involved after it and not to get too many involved at the start, you know, the leaders in parish especially have to understand that we can't just expect them to come back to us out of nowhere. We have to invite them back. Mm-hmm. We need to follow through with them and make sure that they realise that they're welcome and that we don't expect them to leave with this medal, that when they get their bronze, silver, gold or Papal Cross medal, that that's just the starting point. It's the window of opportunity into this brand new life of parish that they now belong to, if they didn't feel like they belonged to before, or to just, I suppose, grow these fruits that were planted, you know, early on, like Mairn, you know, you had your confirmation program, you signed up to your confirmation promises and became involved after that, and still are here. But for Sean, we could have easily lost you in the JP2 award program. You know, we might not have someone like you in our program had there not been this initiative in fourth year to come into. So to kind of, for the schools and the parishes to understand the benefit of both their their stances on it, and to work together as best they can, but take it slowly. It's not about numbers. It's not about tweets saying we have this many young people receiving medals. It's about one face of the award and how amazing of a journey that one person had. Mm-hmm. We have 372 that received a medal this year, and I can hand over every single one of them. Yeah. Every single one of them. But I can't say I would have every other year. And it's because we changed our approach to it.
Yes.
They did earn a medal, but I think as parishes we need to expect more of our young people, because they're well able for it. They have such potential. They just need to be challenged, I think.
Yeah.
And maybe in the early days we'd say it's okay to bring them along slowly, and sure, it's a great event for them to come to the ceremony and they had a great experience. But it's not about this experience anymore. It's about a lifelong one. And this is just one step.
And Myrna and Sean, you seem to like the challenge that was put up to you, and you seem to like that challenge. Is that true?
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. And bring it on by the sounds of it. You're continuing on. keep giving you challenges.
Continuing on for life after this. As Katrina said, it's great to have the award under your belt, but not that many people would continue on with it.
Yeah.
I love JP2 award or no JP2 award. I really enjoy helping out in the parish, and I will continue that. For many years to come, I hope.
So. That's brilliant. Yeah, brilliant altogether.
Tony, that brilliant. Sounds yep. fantastic. There, we're listening very contently to yourself, Myrin, Sean, and Katrina there as well. You've all described and captured very nicely what happens, and the joy is oozing from there, I can see. And to Myrin and Sean as well, just really well done on the wonderful work that you're doing, and to be such lovely witnesses of faith too. You both mentioned prayer there as well, and being involved in the church and at Mass, and especially just the way you recalled your journey to Lourdes and how much you enjoyed that trip. And you both remarked as well how peaceful the grotto was, and that definitely too is one of the greatest gifts we can receive from our faith as well, to carry with us throughout life, is God's peace and Our Lady's presence with us. And that is a huge gift to receive, and it's evident that the award brings also those, I suppose you could call them, the spiritual award in a sense, which is like that peace which makes us joyful. And as well, I would just like to read to you just a few messages that came in, some lovely messages here, and then I will pass you over to Joy, who would just like to share something with you as well, just to remark on how good your interview and just the stories you've been sharing with us. So a listener texts in saying, hello to you, Eileen, Joy and guests. Thank you for the lovely positive show and lovely reflection. Such good young people. Well done, and God bless you all. And then there's another message as well saying, truly life to the full, listening to you all, and also listening to a music show which we had recorded a few weeks ago as well, to Eileen, Jai and Sarah as well. Many thanks and God bless you all at Radio Maria. And another message here saying, hi Eileen and Jai in studio. Great to hear young people so passionate about their faith and so proactively participating in their parish. It's very inspiring. Well done to all involved. So, and that comes in from Fiona from Radio Maria here as well. So thank you so much, Fiona, for that lovely, encouraging message. And to our other listener as well, who texted in with lovely words of inspiration and clearly very uplifted by what you shared here this evening.
That's great to hear. Thank you very much for your texts and messages.
Yes, enjoy.
Yeah, thank you, Eileen, and thanks to all the participants this evening, along with Tony and team. It's always a great pleasure to be here and listen to those testimonies live firsthand. And one show is not enough at all. There is so much richness in it, and there is plenty of good things going on. And great to see the participants, and they're passionate about this project, and how JP2 continuously enables young people to participate at parish level. So we can be a missionary at a parish level, not we don't have to go anywhere overseas. It also ties in with Pope Francis's tweet dated 22nd November. He highlighted, a missionary church knows that its best message is its readiness to be transformed by the word of life making service its hallmark. So it reminds me immediately of JP2 team and also various wonderful initiatives through those ministers of the Eucharist, ministers of the Word, and wonderful all those wonderful initiatives by the church. We see this missionary spirit within the local level here in Ireland in 21st century, very uplifting and great to be part of this with the JP2 and Radio Maria facilitating all of this. And also great to see Bishop Dennis Nulty also supporting this 100%, who is a great supporter of Radio Maria here. Thanks a million to all involved.
Thank you so much, Tony.
Thank you, Joy, for those kind words. And it is great to have the opportunity to hear from people around the country who join you in this, for Radio Marie to give us the opportunity to join the different dioceses around the country and hear from parishes, because more and more people need to hear about this, and they need to hear in their own diocese what is happening in other dioceses, and hopefully we can encourage them to have a sit back and think, is there anything that they themselves could do to encourage similar activities to happen in their own diocese? The award now is in 24 of the 26 dioceses in Ireland. So it's just literally, all they have to do is get in touch with their own parish or diocesan office, and they can be put in people who wish to volunteer in the parish can be connected with people who are doing the award. It's as simple as that.
It's a great structure that you have there, and especially the way you bring together the award coordinators, the school, the parish, and then the students as well. So it's a great way of organizing and just bringing people together, essentially all part of the one family, school, parish, and home as well, which is so important. And just before we finish up this evening, I'd like to just thank you so much again from myself and Joy here. We're both filled to the brim with those stories, and very much delighted for you guys, and congratulate you, and also to yourself, Tony, and to Katrine as well for all the hard work that you both put in, and Charlotte as well. Great work and leadership and witness to journeying with young people, and of course as well to Sean Murphy and Marin Beattie as well, who spoke wonderfully, by the way, I may say, on radio.
Absolutely.
Well done.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And thank you to everybody here. So it's great to have you join us tonight. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, we wish we had longer with you.
I know. We always run out of time.
The time flies. Good. Yeah, but that's a great sign. We have so much to share. It's life to the full for us here. So thank you so much. And we look forward, please God, to having you on again soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And of course, you'll be able to listen back to this again during the week, and it will be uploaded on the podcast page on the Radio Maria website. So until next week, we wish you all, our listeners, a very blessed week, and we look forward to being back with you the same time, same place next week.
And thanks to our listeners from County Clare for that wonderful and beautiful greeting card and message. Thank you so much. Gratefully received and preserved. Thank you so much. On behalf of LTTF team and Radio Maria, thank you.
Yes, and all those who text in as well while we were away as well. Thank you so much for your kind feedback. God bless.